in your sight. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Lord, yes. Lord, yes. Ooh, Lord, yes. Thank you, Lord. 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 Ooh. Thank you, Lord. You've been so good. 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 Oh, you've been so good. You brought me out. 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 Whoa, you brought me out. You've been my friend. You've been my friend. Lord, you've been my friend. Yeah. You've been my friend. You've been my friend. Ooh, you've been my friend. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ooh. Thank you, Lord. Come on, tell the Lord thank you. Come on, tell him thank you. He's been good. He's been good. He's been mighty good. There's a word for us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. The text reads as follows. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want to wrap up my thoughts today on real revival preparation. Real revival preparation. How many in the room today would rather have God's forgiveness and healing instead of God's drought and plague? If the path from plague to healing is revival, what do you think we ought to be working on? Revival. If the path from locusts eating up our crop to God healing our land, if the path from bad to good is revival, what do you think we ought to be working on? revival. And so I have lifted this text as our call to action for real revival. Lord, did not put on my heart this year for us to just come and have one of God's great preachers to come and preach great sermons and choirs come and sing great songs, and then we leave unrevived. It seems to me if we can't even get a third of us to come and pray, then we are not ready for revival. I said, if we cannot get at least a third of us here to come and pray together, then we are not ready for revival. I have attended and have indeed preached revivals and have been impressed with the preaching, been impressed with the singing, had great attendance, money was right, and people still not revived. Revival is about the people of God recommitting, rededicating themselves to doing what the Lord says do. Now, I've lifted this text because I think it outlines for us the cause, components, and consequences of a real revival. On last week, we talked about the cause. What would cause the people of God to, in mass numbers, turn back to the Lord? The answer to that question is pain. They were sinning, and when God got tired of their sins and their ignoring, if not killing, the prophet, God's plan B was he sent pain. He would send a drought so that the crops would not grow. And he would send locusts to eat up what may have somehow survived. And he would send plague, that's sickness, that's pestilence, on the land. This pain would make those who killed the prophet say, maybe we need to hear a word from the Lord. The text goes on and saying, here are the components of a real revival. Here are the parts of a real revival. Part one is, my people need to humbly pray. Two, my people need to seek my face. And number three, and perhaps the hardest, my people need to turn from their wicked ways. Now, you would think it wouldn't be that hard to get the people of God to come to the house of prayer to pray. The truth of the matter is, most of us do not come to prayer meeting. Worse than that, if the leaders of our church would come to prayer meeting, we would probably double our prayer meeting attendance. It is embarrassing to come up on 95 years and can't find 95 people in both prayer meetings together. Until we start praying, we're doing nothing but playing. And we cannot revolutionize planet Earth with a playing church. But the problem is when preaching does not create prayer, then God sends pain to help us bow our knee, to help us learn how to say, Lord, here we are once more and again. This matter of seeking God's face, God's will, what does God want? It would be something if God was hiding his face, but God has revealed his face. He showed us what he wants. What does he want? He wants us to love God with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Of the church, he calls us to evangelize the lost, to edify the saints God's way. There is no mystery to what is God calling us to do. The hardest thing on the list is to turn from our wicked ways. And it is wicked whenever we fail to give God our best especially because we are distracted by our disappointment or anger with some human being. Now let's tell the truth. Church folk can get on your last nerve. I said church folk can get on your last nerve. If they haven't gotten on your last nerve, that probably means you're not doing much. But if you've ever tried to work with us, we will get on your last nerve. And if you're not careful, you'll become so upset, so disappointed, so discouraged, so angry, so whatever with us, that you stop serving the Lord. Now, it would be all right to stop serving the Lord if the Lord had come up short. I mean, if he has stopped blessing you, if he's not taking care of you anymore, if God is not good to you anymore, if God don't give you breakfast, lunch, dinner, if the angels don't watch over you at night anymore, they don't watch over you during the day anymore, if you're just out here all by yourself, then you can quit God. But as long as God is good, you ought to serve the Lord, and you ought not let disappointment, distraction with fellow servants stop you from serving the master, because that is wicked. And when you need a model of how to look past wicked Pharisees and disappointing disciples, you don't have to look any further than Jesus. Y'all remember Jesus. It was the religious community that said, "Give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus." When Jesus looked around from the cross, bless God, if all of the disciples were gone, he could have said, "I quit like everybody else has quit." But because of his allegiance to the Father's call on his life, and because of his love for you and for me, he stayed there and let the creature beat the creator all night long. He stayed there and carried his cross uphill for you, for me. He stayed there and allowed mean people to nail his hands and nail his feet to a cross and spear him in the side for you and for me. And I hang my head in shame when I think about how little we give him in exchange for his blood. Next week, we will eat of his body and we'll drink of his blood after we was too busy to pray for 30 minutes together. We will come and eat his body and drink his blood at the sacred communion table after we've been a pew member for decades. It is wicked to be as able as we are, but to do as little as we do with what God has given us. If we were cognitively impaired, if we were unable, if we had nothing going for us, then we would get a pass. We're doing the best we can, Reverend. We just don't have much to work with. But we've been too blessed to be such a small blessing in the times in which we live. And the book says, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I lift this because we get ready to shout about the consequences of revival, but they're only applicable if you have a real revival. And you can't have a real revival and waddle in wickedness. You have to turn from your wicked ways. And one big wickedness of our day is we get mad with one another and stop serving the Lord. Keep going, Reverend. Now here are the consequences. These are the things we can look forward to if we ever decide we want to have a real revival. Y'all ready? The first one is God's attentive hearing. That's a good thing. Second thing is God forgiving our sin. That's the second thing. And the third thing is healing of our land. These are three consequences of a real revival. Let's go back over them. First one is God's attentive hearing. It's right there in the text. He says, if you would turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Now, hear. Let's spend a minute on hear. Prior to having a real revival, it is not that God is hard of hearing, unable to hear us. He, however, just chooses not to hear us with the same level of attention as he hears us after a revival. To help illustrate, sometimes when I walk in the house, I'm known for turning on the television. Turn the television on in this room and walk to the other room. If you didn't know any better, you'd say, Reverend, why you turn the TV on in the room if you're not going to sit down and watch the television? Because it provides some background noise. Every now and then, I might hear a little something that make me want to come back and see what it's talking about. Like the other day, I saw Richard Childs down there at the Freedom Center doing this thing. I saw you, bro. I saw you. But sometimes, especially commercials, I don't pay it much mind. I'm popping in, I'm popping out, I'm hearing, but I'm not really hearing. That's what God does to us when we pray before revival. He half hears us. Now, I want y'all to listen to me real good. If God is not paying us much mind, don't you know we are in trouble? Because it's a whole lot of folk who don't even pretend as if they're listening to us. Many believe that government does not listen to us. Many believe that people in power do not listen to us. And then some who act like they're listening to us don't have any power to help us. Now, maybe I'm the only one that has some problems in my life, but I really don't need pity. In fact, pity is almost aggravating. If you got arthritis real bad in your hands or your ankles, you don't need nobody talking about, I'm sorry you got arthritis in your hands and your ankles. You need some pain relief. If you got a severe headache, you don't need nobody talking about, I'm sorry you got a headache. You need somebody who can help relieve the pain of your headache. If you got bills that's overdue, you don't need anybody talking about, I'm sorry your bills are overdue. You need somebody who can get me some money to help me get caught up on my bills. Well, there are people in your life and in mine. They're always talking about, I love you, but I can't help you. But what I love about God is if we have a revival, he comes and he sits down in front of the television and gives it his undivided attention. He listens with attentive hearing after the revival. He sits high and he looks low. And I know that's true because the text says, I will hear from heaven. Doesn't say I'll hear from earth. He says, I'll hear from heaven. Now, this is my imagination, probably inspired by Star Trek more than Bible. But I picture the Lord sitting in a captain's chair up in heaven. And when a revived prayer reaches his ear from his captain's chair, he can dispatch whatever I stand in need of. If I need food on my table, he can push a button and bread falls down out of heaven. If my enemies are getting too close, he can press a button and angels are dispatched and keep my enemies from getting too close. From the captain's chair of heaven, he's able to supply whatever I need. If I need deliverance, he can make a way out of no way at all. If my back is up against the wall, from the captain's chair of heaven, he can make a hole in the wall that only I can get through. When my enemy try to get through, the door closes in on them. If you think I'm lying, ask Moses what happened to Pharaoh's army. You can't ask Pharaoh's army. You got to ask Moses, because Pharaoh's army was chasing Moses. They thought that the way that was made for Moses would be good enough for them. They didn't know that favor is not fair. That favor closed in on them. They didn't have no anointing to come through no Red Sea. You got to have favor to come across the Red Sea. And that's what you get after revival. And I must confess, as much as I always want deliverance, if it was up to me, I wouldn't cry another tear. If it was up to me, I would have no more stress. I would have stress-free living. All these wrinkles up here in my forehead, I wouldn't have none wrinkle in my forehead. All this gray that's coming in my mustache, in my beard, I wouldn't have no gray hair if it was up to me. But sometimes, even when the Lord does not deliver, he gives you enduring power. I mean, he'll help you just hang in there. I mean, anybody going through something, and you know the only reason in the world you still standing, the only reason in the world you still got a smile on your face is because the Lord is keeping you. If it wasn't for the Lord, you would have lost your mind a long time ago. The only reason you're still here is it's the invisible keeping power of God. It is attentive hearing. And many of us have a marvelous testimony of how God has responded to our prayers when he was only half listening to us. It blows our mind to think what would happen if we had God's undivided attention. But that's the proposition. If we would have a revival, then I'll hear from heaven. He said, I will hear from heaven. He does not read a report from heaven, but he hears my prayer from heaven. There's no relay between me and him. He hears my prayer. And I like that, because some of my prayers are personal. I said some of my prayers are personal. Y'all hear my pastoral prayer. But if you could hear my personal prayer, the hairs on the back of your neck would stand up. He hears my personal prayer after revival. And then he forgives our sin. That's the second consequence. He forgives our sin. It's just the text. He says, I'll hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. Forgive, told you before, is an accounting term. It means to cancel a debt. Declare a debt as paid, whether it has actually been paid or not. I was sharing this morning, my sister is a medical doctor, and when she came out of Case Western up in Cleveland, she had a mountain of student loan debt. But because she went and provided service in a clinic in an underserved community in Rochester, one of the terms of her employment was that they would forgive X amount of dollars of her student loan debt. What that meant was she owed the money, didn't pay back the money, but when they said they forgave the debt, they were saying, we're going to treat it as if it's paid. We're going to write cancel on this. There'll be no more debt collection, no more notices. Don't worry about this anymore. That's what forgive means. And the book says, if we could have a revival, then the Lord will forgive our sin. Cancel them out. Paid in full. Don't worry about it anymore. Now, the reason why we ought to be shouting more than that is because as churchified as we look, you and I still got some sin that's alive and well. Don't make me come down your street. You better say, man, you gonna make me come down your street. The Lord knows that we don't have skeletons in the closet. Some of us got people in the closet. It's not a skeleton, half dead. No, y'all got people living in the closet. But what I love about God is I don't have to camouflage my sin. I don't have to perpetrate. I don't have to act like I'm something that God knows that I'm not. The book says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we would confess our sins, God is faithful. God is just to forgive us of our sin, cleanse us from all of our iniquity. While I'm in the neighborhood, can I tell you, if God forgive you, you ought to learn how to forgive yourself. I said, while I'm in the neighborhood, since God is able to forgive you, somebody here needs to hear this word right now. You need to learn how to forgive yourself. Now, I can feel you. I can feel you. There are people in your life who will never forgive you. And so if you will only forgive yourself when the people you have mistreated forgive you, you may be in the valley of guilt for a mighty long time. What Pastor is telling you is if God with his holy self can forgive you in spite of your sins, then instead of you allowing people to dictate your emotional state and how much remorse you walk around here carrying, you ought to live in the sunlight of grace and mercy. You ought not let people drag you through the midnight of remorse and guilt and feeling low down. If Jesus has paid it all, then you ought to live in the sunshine of living under his grace and his mercy. I wish I had some real people in here that I could just talk with for a minute. What I'm trying to get you to see is, yes, this, that, and that thing you did over there, God can forgive all of that. Yep, even that thingamajig and that whatchamacallit, yeah, he got all of that. All of that. He can write cancel on all of that, but it's only for those who have a real revival. And then finally, there is the healing of the lamb. So I'm thankful that there is attentive hearing of my prayers. There's forgiving of my sin, but there's also healing of our land. That's what the text says. He says, if they return from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. I shouldn't have to spend a lot of time telling you there is some sickness in the land. I'm thankful it does not describe all of our men, but too many of our men are locked up in jail. It does not describe all of our men, but too many of our men are absent from church and family. It does not describe all women, but it describes too many of our women. You are way too desperate for any piece of a man. Now, I just need to hover here for a minute. Cecil Farrell said, let me just put 5 minutes in the parking meter and hang out here for a hot minute. Babies, listen, you can do bad all by yourself. Now, you got enough sense to process this. This is not deep at all. I don't care how. Lord, I need the right words. I'm working on this. I'm working on this. Tact is not my strongest suit, so I'm trying to find the right words. I don't care how good he makes you feel. You know what I'm talking about. I don't care how good he looks. If bruh man don't have a job now, talking about where he used to have a job, he said he gonna get a job. Does Duke accept that? When the Duke bill come to my house, I can't tell Duke I used to have a job or I'm going to have a job. Duke want me to pay the bill now. You don't need to just settle for any little piece of stray man you see walking down the street. You belong to the Lord. You ought to have some standards about yourself. And I would imagine it gets lonely. I would imagine it's frustrating. I understand you have drives and needs. I got all of that. But I remind you, you belong to the Lord. And I don't care how much that joke talking about, baby, I love you, I love you, I love you. If they don't love the Lord, they don't have enough power to stay in love with you. Yeah. If they don't love the Lord, after all the Lord has done for them, what make you think they're going to stay in love with you? Because no matter what you do for him, it's no comparison to what the Lord can do for him. And if he doesn't love the Lord, how in the world he going to stay in love with you? Where does he get the power to love you when he don't feel like loving you? And as much sense as I'm making right now, some of y'all still going to run on out there and get hooked up. And then you sneak back up in here, calling you by your name. Well, Reverend, I done changed my name. I ain't gonna fuss with you. But it's sickness in our land when some of those who have been in church for decades would still go out and say, I permanently give my life to a person that never calls on the name of Jesus. Yeah, that's sick. That's sick. Come on, down here. Ain't nothing shouting about that. Come on down. It does not describe all, but it describes too many of our young people. That after 50 years of marching, 50 years later, there are still too many of our young people who do not receive a quality education. There are still too many. It does not describe all, but too many of our young people have grown to be disrespectful of those who could help them. It does not describe all, but too many of our seniors wrestle with financial, health, and family issues. But as bad as it may appear, as sick as the land may be, preacher came by to tell you, God can heal the land. I mean, that's what he said. Whatever is sick, he can fix it. He can heal it. Whatever is broke, he can put it back together again. Somebody ought to be able to testify there's nothing too hard for God. One little point here I wanted to tell you about God. After revival, he does something that caught my attention with the title of the Lamb. In Psalms 24, verse 1, the title reads, "The Lord, that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." In Psalms 24, 1, the title clearly shows that the earth is in the name of the Lord. But after revival, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, "I will heal their land." God is something, isn't he? He has a temporary transference of title for those who would just submit themselves, humble themselves to revival. Well, that's all, children. When I look back over my own life, think about all of the challenges that I put up with, wrestle through many of my own deeds and of my own commission. I have resolved in my own spirit, I don't want the Lord to send drought into my life. I don't want the Lord to send any locusts in to devour what little I have. And I sure enough don't want the Lord to send plague and sickness into my body. And so then I have to do what the Bible tells me to do. I got to humble myself and pray. I got to seek the face of the Lord. And most of all, turn from my wicked ways. But no matter how hard I try, I can never have a revival for us. Every child of God got to make up in his or her mind. It costs too much to stay in a state of wickedness. Everybody in the room have to count up the cost. When you look at how much pain and suffering you've already endured, and think about the faithfulness of God, you ought to have enough conviction to say, I need to turn around right here and right now. Oh, my prayer for Southern is that we would have a real revival. Yeah, I wish I had words to say. I wish I had a prayer to pray. I wish I had a song to sing that would make us get serious about a real revival. But at least I'll be able to tell the Lord that I told you it does not matter who comes and preach. It does not matter who comes and sing until God's people humble themselves and learn how to pray. Until God's people seek the face of God. Until God's people turn from their wicked ways. No need in shouting about answered prayer. No need in getting happy about forgiveness of sin. No need getting happy about a healed lamb. All of these things are for the revived. I close when I tell you I'm glad that whenever we make up our mind, God is so faithful, we can count on him to live higher than we ever thought about living. If the roles were reversed, if we set up high and God was down low, and it took God so long to turn from his wicked ways, whenever he turned, the first thing we would have said is, what took you so long? Since it took you so long to turn to me, then I'm going to take my time and turn it back to you. But what I love about my God is his ways are not our ways. His ways are as far from our ways as east is from west, as north is from south. If we would just turn back to the Lord, he will I said he will take care of us. I'm closing, children. I pray to God that I'm wrong. But it just looked like somebody gotta have some more pain. Somebody here gotta have more suffering in your life. God has to send more locusts to eat up your stomach. But that's all right. When the pain comes, don't let pride keep you out in the world longer than you gotta stay. When the pain get too bad, y'all remember Reverend told you, all you gotta do is tell the Lord, I'm sorry, don't let pride keep you out there suffering longer than you gotta suffer. Just as soon as you turn to God, God will be right there with open arms and loving spirit. I love the story of how the prodigal son came back to his daddy. Maybe the reason I love it is because it sounds like the story of my life. When I came to myself, daddy, he was not there to criticize me. He was not there to tell me what took me so long. But daddy was right there with outstretched arms, ring for my finger, roll for my back, party for my mind. Ain't God all right? Anybody here? Anybody here? Anybody here? Know you can trust God to do what he said he would do. Anybody here ever tried my Lord and know that he may not come when you want him, but if you trust and obey, he'll be there right on time, right on time. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? I'm glad. I said, I'm glad that I know the Lord. If all I had going for me was your response to the word, I would have thrown in the towel a long time ago. But listen to what I'm telling you. I know the Lord. I know the Lord. I know the Lord will pick us up, turn us around, place our feet on a higher ground. If you are excited about what God has done in the past 95 years, children, you haven't seen what God can do. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, minds cannot imagine what God has for those who would humble themselves and pray, what God has for those who would seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. Please, please, come on, let's have a real revival. Please, don't let the Lord have to send locusts. Don't make the Lord send drought in your life. Turn while you still have time. Get right. I said get right while you're still in the grace period. You don't want to mess around and get past God's grace period. He will receive you back. I ought to have a witness that God will give you another chance if you just come clean. If you just tell the Lord, it's me, oh Lord. It's not my pastor. It's not my deacons. It's not my members. But it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Won't he pick you up? Won't he give you another chance? Won't he give you joy on your journey? And he all right. The ball is in your court. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to have our revival prayer meetings. I have absolutely no doubt somebody's going to be in prayer meeting each night. But if a third of us can't come to prayer meeting for our 3 nights of revival prayer meeting, no matter how well we jump and shout today, up under it all, we're still not ready for revival. And my fear is, God takes it for a while, and then he gets angry, and he sends the drought. Now, babies, I want you to just walk through that. Normally, we call on God to remove the problems from our life. The text said God will send drought in our life. He commands the locusts to eat up our stuff. He sends the plague in our life. He does this when preaching doesn't work. I know many of you already have enough challenges in your life. The last thing in the world you need is for the Lord to send some more pain in your life. Let's keep the pain away. Respond to preaching. Hear the word of the Lord. Do what the Lord say do. Before, as my elders would say, the Lord come and slap the juice out of you. You have time. You got good sense. You know exactly what God wants you to do. And my prayer is that you would move it from your head to your hands, to your feet, to your behavior while you still have time. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a good day to come and get right with God. Don't let the devil talk you out of the marvelous opportunity to come and get right with God while you still have time. The door is open. Man, woman, boy, or girl.
To Jesus,
if you know you need the Lord in your life,
surrender.
If you know you need to get yourself in church,
to him.
If you know it's time to come back home, this is the day. This is the place. Come and say yes, Lord.
I will
whatever's going on,
love,
God loves you.
And
he has a marvelous plan for your life.
Trust him in
just as you are.
His presence.
You don't have to fix anything. Just come down. Right here and right now. Right here and right now. You know you need to come. Would you come? The door is open. The invitation is extended to you. We're waiting on you. Would you come right now? Step out in the aisle and come down right now.
Would
there be another that would say yes, Lord?
Surrender all.
more to come.